time, the baptism of Jesus and our baptisms also can look forward in time. Because in a sense for Jesus, the baptism of Jesus was the beginning of a new period of ministry and service to God. It was a period of transition, period of preparation. So I think it's significant that we reflect this morning for a few minutes on the meaning of our own baptisms as Christians, and especially the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would invite you to follow along in your own Bibles if you care to. First, our Old Testament lesson, which is found in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4, where the prophet Isaiah looks forward to the time when Messiah will come and when the servant of the Lord will be anointed by the Holy Spirit for the service of God and God's ministry. And this text is fulfilled in the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry aloud or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. And in his law, the islands will put their hope. And then the New Testament lesson is found in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. As Jesus presents himself for baptism by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as John was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word as you have revealed it in the writings of the prophet Isaiah and the gospel according to St. Matthew. And we pray that your same Holy Spirit that inspired these texts would now open them to our faith, hope, and understanding, that we might grow deeper in our knowledge, our understanding, and in the joy of our salvation. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. So the baptism of Jesus and our baptisms. And as we reflect on this morning, we can focus on three basic thoughts or ideas: salvation, spirit, and service. Salvation, spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and service, Christian service. And the baptism of Jesus and our baptisms are really deeply implicated in our understanding and experience of salvation, what it means to be saved in Jesus Christ, in our understanding of and experience of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and in the meaning and the power for Christian service, salvation, spirit, and service. But first, a little bit of background. What's going on here in this text? There's a great revival going on in the land of Israel in the first century. Great excitement. And there's tremendous excitement because for 300 years, the voice of prophecy and the prophets has been silent. And the rabbis of Israel had said that ever since the time of Haggai and Zechariah, the Spirit had departed from Israel. God seemed distant from his people. it was as though God himself had gone into exile in 586 BC when the temple was destroyed and the hopes of the people literally went up in flames. The people of God had been demoralized and dispersed, and for 300 years, the voice of God had not been heard in the land of Israel. So it was with tremendous excitement when this man, a man like Elijah, who looked like Elijah, who had a powerful voice calling the people back to repentance like Elijah, appeared in the desert, and then dozens and then hundreds, in fact, thousands of people left their homes and their jobs here to listen again to the voice of God's prophet preaching repentance, but also renewal. He was calling the people who often lived in a broken covenant to come back to God to repent, but also to hear God's word and to look forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit. So it was a time of great blessing, a time of great revival. And I know that probably many of you here in this church have been praying for revival in New England. Revival in the American church, revival in the Presbyterian church, because it's been a long time since the days of the Great Awakening in New England, when people like George Whitefield were powerfully preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there was a powerful movement of the Holy Spirit. Well, that was the time, and that was some of the excitement. So as Jesus of Nazareth comes down to the waters of the Jordan River to be baptized, in many minds, there's a question here. Why is this man coming to be baptized? John the Baptist was surprised. Many people in the early church were wondering, well, does he have any sins to confess? Does he need to have his sins washed away? No, he doesn't. He has no sins to confess, no sins to be washed away. Why is he being baptized? Well, in hindsight, of course, we know that the reason Jesus was being baptized was not for his own sins. He was being baptized for our sins, for your sins, and for my sins. Because Jesus Christ is the beloved Son of God, is also the true Israel. Jesus Christ represents the people of God in the presence of God. So in a very real sense, when Jesus was baptized, he was being baptized for the sake of the whole people of God, including everyone here this morning, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. He was the representative one who represented us before God. So salvation. How does the baptism of Jesus give us a deeper understanding of our salvation? Let me suggest to you this morning that as you think of Jesus coming up out of the water, receiving the Holy Spirit, and hearing the words of God, his Father, to him saying, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." This is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of our salvation experience. It's an unfolding of the meaning of our faith in Jesus Christ. Because as we identify with Jesus Christ in his message, Jesus' experience in the Jordan River in his baptism is a picture of your salvation experience in mine. Receiving the Holy Spirit, hearing the words of the God Father who created us, and hearing from our Heavenly Father that you are my beloved son or daughter, and with you I am well pleased. That's the meaning of salvation. So the baptism of Jesus and our baptism signifies not only salvation from something, but salvation for something. Not only salvation from something, but salvation for something. Well, salvation from what? Salvation from sin, from guilt, from defilement, from wrath and judgment and fear of punishment. Yes, we are saved from all that. But salvation is not only having our sins washed away and looking forward to being with Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven when we die. Salvation is an invitation to step now by faith in the present life into the experience of Jesus and to grow deeper in the life of the Holy Spirit and to experience what he experienced, not only at the Jordan River, but during every moment of life, knowing that he is the beloved Son of the Father. Now, I hope that's your experience. It's all about knowing the love of God. And as the Holy Spirit, okay, was descending on Jesus, the Holy Spirit was not only bringing peace to to Jesus Christ, peace with God, okay, but bringing also the love of God, the love of God into Jesus' heart, just as the Holy Spirit opens our hearts to the love of God. Salvation from, but salvation for a relationship. Okay? It's possible sometimes when we have broken relationships or when we're offended by someone for forgiveness to take place, but sometimes we have no deeper relationship, ongoing relationship with the person after reconciliation perhaps. But here the whole point of salvation is that we have a deeper relationship of sonship and daughtership and adoption as we are drawn into a deeper experience of the love of God the Father for us. So as you think about the baptism of Jesus, think that this is a picture of your salvation experience and the type of experience that God wants you to have in ever-increasing fashion. The Father says to His Son, "You are my beloved Son, with you I'm well pleased." Another beautiful biblical image that we can think of in addition to the baptism of Jesus to understand what it means to look like, to experience, and to feel like being a beloved son or daughter is, of course, the beloved story of the prodigal son. As the prodigal son comes back from the far country, having experienced repentance, his heart is filled with compassion, and he welcomes the son back and embraces the son. In this picture of a son or a daughter being embraced by a compassionate and loving father, this is our salvation heritage. This is our salvation experience. It's the meaning not only of Jesus' baptism, it is the meaning of your baptism, salvation. The Holy Spirit, we've sung about the Holy Spirit this morning. Jesus Christ received the Holy Spirit in his baptism, and every believer in Jesus Christ has received the Holy Spirit in his or her baptism. The baptism of Jesus, of course, is a wonderful illustration of the Trinitarian faith that we believe. We believe in God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do we not? A community of fellowship and love. And again, our salvation experience involves in being drawn deeper and deeper into the life of the Trinity, as through the communion of the Holy Spirit, we begin to enjoy more and more Jesus' communion with the Father. Salvation is being drawn in to Jesus' loving experience with the Father in the communion of the Holy Spirit. And so we see all three persons of the Trinity in the baptism of Jesus. We see God the Father speaking from heaven, speaking the words that he wants you to hear and believe and experience more deeply. "This is my beloved Son. With you I'm very well pleased." We see God the Son incarnate. We see the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And so we see here that God the Holy Spirit accompanies Jesus during every moment of his earthly life, from the very first moment of his, what, conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. We see him received the Holy Spirit again during his baptism. We're told in the Gospel of Luke that the Holy Spirit drives him out into the wilderness during the 40-day temptation. We read that the Holy Spirit then leads him into Galilee to preach the good news of the gospel. We see the Holy Spirit descending on him in the synagogue in Nazareth, Luke chapter 4, when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," as he opens the prophecy of Isaiah. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that the Holy Spirit gave Jesus Christ the strength to die on the cross for our sins. And the Holy Spirit rose him from the dead, giving him new life. And on the day of Pentecost, as he was enthroned at the right hand of the Father, he received the fullness of the Spirit and then shared it with the church and with us in Pentecost in the days following. The Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus every step of the way. And that's to be our experience too. Because God the Holy Spirit brought you to saving faith in Jesus Christ as you believe the gospel. The Holy Spirit gave you a new heart and a new spirit in the born-again experience of regeneration. And the Holy Spirit is with you today to empower you for ministry and to draw you deeper into the love of God. Well, the love of God. We believe or ought to believe that God loves us, and yet sometimes, you know, the phrase the love of God can almost become a cliche. So let me put it this way. If I ask you here, on that day, that morning, that afternoon, when Jesus was baptized, and when he hears these words, "You are my beloved child, my beloved son. With you I am well pleased." Can we also say that God liked Jesus? Can we say that not only loved him, but liked him? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. God delights in Jesus, and God delights in us as his children. He not only loves you, okay, he likes you and is pleased to see you in church and is eager, perhaps more eager than we are, to enjoy fellowship. This is salvation. We are beloved children. Salvation, spirit, service. Now, what can the baptism of Jesus and our baptism, but especially the baptism of Jesus, tell us about the nature of Christian service? Well, a couple of thoughts here. It's very striking here that before Jesus goes out to preach the kingdom, and before he goes out to serve God and minister, before he goes out to the wilderness to wrestle with the devil and to oppose temptation, before service, there is affirmation. Before service, there is affirmation. So before God the Father sends Jesus out to serve, he affirms his son and his servant in word and in deed. And so as you here at Wyndham Presbyterian continue to serve the Lord here, you need to be empowered and affirmed with the sense that God loves you and likes you and wants you to have an even richer experience of his love. Those of you who are mothers and have put children on the school buses in the morning, I suspect that before you said goodbye to your son or daughter, what did you do at the door or there at the bus stop? Gave him a hug and a kiss and said, "I hope you have a good day." That's a way of affirming someone you care about so that they will have a good day. And so as God the Father speaks to Jesus, as he speaks to us, as he sends the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is God's blessing, God's touch, God's hug, God's kiss. And so we all need to be have that sense of affirmation as we serve God. And God is so generous to give it. And we can give that to one another as well. Affirmation prior to service. And a final thought along those lines. When Jesus Christ heard these words, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased," we ask the question, well, how much ministry had Jesus done for God the Father at this point? How much work in the church? How many committee meetings had he served on? Okay. How many search processes? What had he been doing for the first 30 years of his life? He had been living a very quiet life, okay? Perhaps working with his dad in the carpenter shop, helping his mother with the other kids, living a very quiet life, not doing anything grand and spectacular for God, okay? And we don't have to do great and spectacular things for God in order to be in good standing. We don't have to earn that. But out of that sense of affirmation, then we are empowered and freed to serve God and to work on those committees and to do the work of the ministry in the church. But we are God, we are loved by God because God loves us. God loves us because God loves us. And in that wonderful truth and growing experience, then, we can be empowered to serve God and to love God and grow deeper in our salvation. So in closing, let me just suggest that sometime this evening, before you call it quits, that you just reflect again on this text, the baptism of Jesus, as an image not only of Jesus' baptism, but your salvation experience. And ask the Holy Spirit to draw you deeper into Jesus' experience of love and joy and affirmation by God the Father, because that is your heritage as a beloved child of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth that through the life, death, and resurrection of the Savior, we are being invited to share his blessed life, his happy life, with you, our Heavenly Father, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. So seal this good news upon our hearts, and may we serve you joyfully all the days of our years. In the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen. Maker of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, descended into hell, the third day again from the dead, and into heaven, and sitteth on the hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we prepare to come to the Lord's table, and I would invite the elders or ushers to come forward at this time.